Hello and welcome back to another Sunday and another episode of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, a podcast where I talk with my guests about their journeys in nutrition. I am Amelia and your host of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. I am currently a student nutritionist, recently graduating from the University of Leeds in Food Science and Nutrition with an international year, and I'm now studying my Master's at UCL in Clinical and Public Health Nutrition. While I am working towards my accreditation, I am not yet an accredited nutritionist. Nothing which is said on this podcast should be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you would like nutrition advice, you can contact a registered nutritionist, dietitian, or your GP. Other resources available to you include the NHS and the BDA websites. Now, let's get on with the podcast. It is a pleasure to be talking with Talia today about her journey in nutrition and dietetics. Talia is a registered dietitian who has specialised in eating disorders. Today, Talia takes us through her inspiration to study dietetics, her experiences studying and working in hospitals, which has led her to a specialisation, and through her journeys to setting up her own company while offering part-time one-to-one consultations at the Retrition Clinic. Welcome to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, sharing our journeys. Hello, Talia. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks, Amelia.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to learn a little bit about your nutrition journey today. Would you start with introducing yourself?
Yes, of course. So my name is Talia Cicchelli and I am a registered dietitian. You can probably tell by the accent that I'm from Australia. So I've been living in the UK for just over 2 years now, working in London. So I specialise in eating disorders and I work part-time in a private hospital on an eating disorders unit. And then I work part-time offering one-to-one consultations at the Retrition Clinic in London.
Wow, you must be so busy. And knowing a little bit about your journey already, it seems that's been a pattern throughout your whole nutrition and dietetics journey. But going back to the beginning, where did it start for you?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, right back thinking about when I wanted to become a dietitian, I was 15. And I always find it really interesting reflecting on how young I was knowing that I wanted to work as a dietitian. So I used to play representative netball and we had a dietitian come and give a presentation about how to fuel your body for sport. And I remember just walking out of her talk and thinking, wow, that's such a cool job. I'm going to do that. Not knowing at all really what a dietitian did. So I always had a passion for food and I was very into fitness as well. So I probably would have always gone down the career path of something in the health realm.
So
I did a lot of science subjects at school and then I got offered dietetics and nutrition undergraduate position at Wollongong University, which is in Australia, so just south of Sydney.
Beautiful.
And yeah, and so studied for 4 years and did an honours and then went straight into the workforce. So I was really lucky to be offered a new graduate position, so similar to a Band 5 position in the UK, only a couple months out of graduating. So I worked full-time from the get-go, which I feel so grateful for.
That's amazing. And you said that you had this talk which sparked your thoughts about dietetics and learning a bit more about what it was, but you do think that even without that talk it would have found you and you would have found it at some point, which is really, really incredible.
I think so, yeah. If not being a dietitian, I would have probably ended up doing something like exercise physiology or nursing or health related.
So I'm 22 now, but my journey started at 15 as well.
Yeah.
And it actually began with a love of netball too and the sciences. I studied history, art, psychology and chemistry at A-level and I loved every one of them and I just could not decide which one I wanted to study or which route. I was looking at history of art at one point, I was looking at chemistry at one point. Psychology has always been a huge passion of mine.
Yeah.
And my mum shouted upstairs to me, "What about nutrition?" And I was like, "Yes." And when you just don't have to think about a decision, it just was like, that's the one, because it incorporated everything I loved.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. One of the best things about working as a dietitian and that is that it's so varied and you have so many hats. You have a counselling hat, you have a teaching hat, when you do education, you have a research hat. There's lots of different areas that you can work in at such a broad degree, which is fantastic.
I love it. And you said that you went straight into work coming out of university. Did you do any volunteering or work experience during your time at uni that got you prepared and made you so employable when you came out?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I kept a part-time job throughout university, working multiple jobs, as you do. So Doing a full-time degree, I worked between 20 to 30 hours a week.
Wow.
So I didn't have that much time to do voluntary work. I did do a little bit, but it wasn't as much as what I think other people may have had an opportunity to do. But I think what helped me the most, I worked in hospitality, so I had really good communication skills, teamwork skills. But in the last 6 months before graduating, I worked as a dietitian assistant. Mm. And I think that just having that experience working in a hospital, working with dietitians and with patients, sort of gave me an edge.
Yeah, for sure. And as you said, with your hospitality work, you had those communication skills, those teamwork skills, which are so applied to nutrition. It's something that I'm finding at the moment, coming out of my undergraduate, going into my master's degree, is that communication of the knowledge that we have. So what was your experience as a dietitian's assistant?
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it. I loved working in a hospital. I always just thought it was such a cool thing, working in a hospital. But yeah, definitely, because I knew that that's what I wanted to do as a dietitian, I just, again, was so grateful for that opportunity and loved speaking to the patients and seeing what the dietitians did and how they worked was really valuable.
Yeah, I can imagine how valuable that must have been. Yeah. And I'm excited to talk to you about the work that you've been doing post-uni, but I also wanted to mention a passion that you mentioned, which is cooking. And it's important to say that nutritionists are not chefs, but you obviously have a passion for cooking. Would you tell us a bit about your passion and where that began?
Yeah, I think from a very young age, so I'm from an Italian background, so I think my mum is a really good cook, and I was always involved in cooking from a really young age. And again, it's pretty rare, but from about 8 or 9 years of age, I was packing my own lunchbox, making my own sandwiches, baking muffins for my family to take to school and to work, helping mum wherever I could. I was always asking her, how do you make this? How do I use a knife to cut potato into thin strips? I was just really interested. Yeah, so from a very young age, I had that.
Ooh, I bet that went down well, having loads of muffins being made and all the treats.
Yeah, it was great.
That's delicious. What's your favourite thing to cook?
Oh, I do love baking, but nowadays it's mostly cooking sort of savoury dishes. Yeah, I think can't go wrong with pasta.
Very true. I love making excess pasta for my dinner and then having it cold in a lunchbox the next day. It gets better overnight.
It's all that resistant starch.
Exactly. It's so good. So can you talk us through a little bit the experience that you've had coming out of university?
So yes, the first job I had, that new graduate position, was working in aged care and rehabilitation, a very typical new graduate position, and I was there for a year. And then I moved on to a larger teaching hospital, doing similar work, but had a bit of a larger caseload going into general medicine, medical assessment unit, cardiology. And then I was lucky enough to be seconded into a position that covered a pediatric outpatient clinic. And I never thought I'd work in pediatrics, but I really enjoyed it. And then a position came up at one of Australia's largest children's hospitals, the Sydney Children's Hospital at Westmead. And it was a 3-month locum, and I went for the position and I didn't actually get it. But then they called me back about a month later offering me another role. And that turned into a 2-year contract working in pediatrics. And then on my first day, when I was being given my ward allocations, I got given the eating disorders unit amongst other wards. I was also doing oncology and working on the burns unit. So that was my very first experience working in eating disorders. And just like pediatrics, never thought I would work in eating disorders either. But again, turned out that I loved it. And since then, I've known that that's where I'm meant to be working. So
wow.
after that job, I changed over to working in adults in eating disorders and had a few different jobs. Mm-hmm. So I was working on an inpatient eating disorders unit in Sydney, then part-time at the Butterfly Foundation, which is a charity similar to BEAT that's in the UK. So they had an intensive outpatient treatment program. And then I was also working in a community position 2 days a week. So it's more outpatient eating disorders work.
They're very, very busy.
Yeah, I was driving all over Sydney, but it gave me such incredible experience. And then I've always known I've wanted to move over to London from about 21. So yeah, when I was still at university, I had a dream to move to another country to work. And as a dietitian, the UK has a reciprocal degree. Mm-hmm. So yeah, finally got over here 2 years ago.
Your journey and experiences really have contributed to who you are. And I guess something that I've learned throughout my time and my experience in nutrition is that you just got to try different things, and you're either going to love it or you don't, and you'll learn from that experience. And you found things that you loved.
Yeah.
How did you find working in peds and eating disorders?
Yeah, the eating disorders work I did at the pediatric hospital wasn't as tough as working full-time in adults. Mm-hmm. I think because when you work in eating disorders in pediatrics, a lot of the work that you do is with the parents, because the gold standard of treatment for eating disorders for children and adolescents is family-based therapy. So as a dietitian, your role is actually really limited. So I really enjoyed helping to educate parents about how to nourish their child once they left the hospital. But I definitely think changing over to working in adults on an inpatient unit, was quite a different skill set. Different in the way like your role and the type of clients or patients that you're working with, and how I guess the patience and the self-compassion and the empathy and the emotional work involved.
And every patient is unique, so you've got to have a very adaptable process with every single person.
Definitely.
How did you decide that eating disorders was the route that you wanted to go and specialise in?
Yeah, it just happened. I think because I really felt a valued member of the team that I was working in, and because eating disorders is something that you don't learn much about at university, I was learning so much and I loved that.
Yeah.
And everyone has a relationship with food. Everyone has a history about how they've eaten. Everyone talks about food, and I think combining my passion for food, I just fell into it naturally. Mm-hmm. It just made sense to continue to pursue it.
Yeah. Really amazing. Something that I quite often say on these podcasts, but I think it really makes sense when talking about people's journeys, is that all the pieces of the puzzle do just come together.
Yeah, you can never predict what path you're going to take with dietetics. And I may not be working in eating disorders for the rest of my life, and that's completely fine, because I think it's important to, as you said, just let the pieces fall into place and go with the flow and see what opportunities come up and say yes to things that you're interested in.
I definitely say yes to what you're interested in and what you enjoy. Something that I really wanted to ask you as a registered dietitian, how did you choose that path into dietetics over nutrition?
Yeah, to be honest, looking back, I don't think I really even considered the alternative, because that talk that I attended when I was 15, there was a dietitian talking, so that's what I had decided that I was going to do. In Australia, it is a bit different though. There is a large percentage that will go on and do dietetics, and I think that because I thought I wanted to work in a hospital, that's why I went down the dietetic route.
Yeah, the first time I started hearing about this field was all about nutrition. And at that point in my life, I didn't want to be in hospitals. I mean, I was 15 when I was thinking about this, and I didn't feel I had the emotional maturity to go into hospitals.
Yeah,
I'm now 22, going on to my master's in clinical and public health nutrition, and really considering a route into dietetics. So it's really interesting to hear your experience within the hospitals.
Definitely. I think not everyone has to go and do dietetics. And I think that's really important to talk about, because people think that that's what you have to do. You can have an amazing career having studied nutrition. Mm-hmm. The main deciding factor is the type of people that you want to work with. If you want to work with those that are chronically unwell and in a hospital, then dietetics is for you. It opens up the type of people that you can work with in a clinical setting.
And what are you currently up to? You mentioned that you moved to the UK 2 years ago. So what have you been up to since you've been over here?
Lots of traveling. lots of different jobs. So when I first moved here, I actually moved to Wolverhampton near Birmingham. I worked as a paediatric dietitian for 5 months. And then I made my way down to London and had a few jobs before landing my current roles, just working as a locum, just finding my feet, waiting for a more permanent opportunity to come up. So yeah, during that time, did lots of traveling, lots of networking, met quite a few nutritionists and dietitians through Instagram, which was really nice. And that really helped me to settle into London, was to make those connections, because I basically had to start from scratch in terms of, my network.
Can imagine, it must have been quite hard. It's such great advice that you've got, is start somewhere, make those connections, take on what work you can find, and really find your feet. And also those connections, I've more recently been networking, maybe over the past 6 months, outside of my usual network. And it's been amazing, and people are so supportive and share their knowledge and share what they're up to within the field, and it is amazing to see that happen.
Yeah, I think as dietitians we are people we love building a community, and that's one thing I do like about this career, is that we're all there for each other, we're all supporting each other. And really willing to give advice and to help out.
Something which I have to ask is, I did my international year in Australia, and I loved traveling around and finding so many new things. But what have you loved about being in the UK? Where have you been? What have you really enjoyed visiting?
Yeah, so the draw card of the UK is that it is so close to Europe. So in the last 2 years, I've been to, I don't know, maybe between 15 to 20 countries in Europe. I've done a lot, because I can just pop over on the weekend, and that is why so many Australians come over to the UK. It's just that we're so close. And then the UK itself, I've done quite a bit of travelling in the UK, so including Scotland, Wales and Ireland.
Yeah, I think you've been to a lot more places than I have. But I found that when I went over to Oz, I visited so many places within the year that I was there. But I think it's because that you might not be there.
It's limited. Yeah, you prioritise it. When I was living in Australia, I think my first time visiting Queensland was 3 or 4 years ago. So it's the same.
And then bringing it back to nutrition and dietetics, what's your current job role?
So my role in the hospital, so I work there 3 days a week. And I'm the sole dietitian on the inpatient eating disorders unit. So one of my main roles is to assess all of the patients and ensure that they're on the correct meal plan. I assess for risk of refeeding syndrome, and then I'll review my patients every week to make sure that they're on a plan that's appropriate for them. So whether they're gaining weight or maintaining weight. And then I run a nutrition group, and then I also run some social meals. So twice a week I will take patients out who are ready for it to eat out at a cafe or a restaurant. So we practice social eating, and I'm there to role model what normal eating is and to provide support, because a lot of those meals are quite challenging. And then, work quite closely within the teams with the consultant psychiatrist and the psychologist and the nursing team. And another big part of my role is that we do a weekly ward round, so where all of the multidisciplinary team meet and we bring the patients in one by one to review how their week's going, what their goals are, and we plan their treatment for the upcoming weeks.
That's incredible. As you take the multidisciplinary of it, bringing in other people, because not one person can know everything. So really working with other people sounds amazing. And you mentioned you do that 3 days a week. What do you do for the rest of your week?
Yeah, so for the other 2 days, that's when I have my one-to-one consultations. So at the moment I work for the Retrition Clinic, so I consult to them. And then I have my business, which is Talia Cicchelli Nutrition, and that's a freelance component. Most of the work is the one-to-one consultations. Occasionally I'll do things, corporate workshops or brand collaborations, and then it's things blog writing, my newsletter, social media, all those sort of admin roles for the business, updating the website, those sorts of things.
It's so varied. I know every day of your week must be so interesting. You're, oh, what's going to happen today? as part of your freelance, when did you set that up and how has it been running your own business?
I've loved it. I've been wanting to do it for such a long time. I did try it when I was in Australia. I lasted about a month. So it wasn't for me at the time. I don't think I was ready. But yeah, then when I got my position working at the hospital part-time last year in April, I also interviewed for the job at Retrition. So it just sort of happened organically. Mm-hmm. And then working at Retrition with Rhiannon and supporters is really given me the skills and confidence to continue to grow my business or my brand. Definitely a lot of things that I want to do with my brand. Yeah, I just love the flexibility. I really enjoy the community that you can build, and I love the one-to-one consultation work that you can help someone in that capacity, that you have that long-term follow-up. You know, I've been working with some of my clients now for almost a year, and you don't really get that in the hospital setting. So that's one thing I really value about it. And you can do things a bit differently with, you know, with the hospital, you're seeing a certain subgroup of clients. Whereas when you work in a freelance role and when you're working in private practice, that opens up your doors to work with different types of conditions, different age groups, different motivation levels. So yeah, the work that you do can be a bit more creative.
Yeah. And I really loved the term that you used for how it happened. You said it happened organically, and that's really nice. You've obviously put in so much hard work. You seem so busy all the time. Yeah. And it may have not happened in Australia, but you knew it would happen and you knew those timings would work out for you.
Yeah, definitely. I always knew it would happen. Like, that's been my dream, to work for myself. It wasn't always my dream though, from starting out. It probably was only about 3 or 4 years into my career. But yeah, I knew it would happen. I just needed the time to build up the confidence, I think. And I couldn't have done it straight out of university. I think that one of the drivers for me wanting to work freelance was actually specializing in eating disorders.
And you've got so much experience learning from others, being in the clinical setting, and then you could go out on your own a little bit more. Talking about your freelance has really brought us onto your social media. And I followed you on Instagram for a while now, and I absolutely love your posts. How long have you been on Instagram?
I have had my Instagram account for, I think, about 8 years.
Wow.
But it did start out as a personal page. And then I turned it to private. But I don't think I took it seriously until maybe 2.5-3 years ago. And then stepped it up probably last year. Yeah. So looking back, I think you probably speak to a lot of dietitians and nutritionists that think, oh, why didn't I just take it seriously back when Instagram first started 8 years ago? Because it's a lot harder to get the message out there nowadays. But yeah, I do enjoy it. It is a lot of work, but I love building my community.
Yeah.
That's really rewarding.
It seems you've really evolved throughout your career and understanding how to get the message out there. And I think the community message keeps on coming up throughout our conversation. It's a community of people that you support and a community of nutritionists and dietitians that you're a part of.
Yeah.
What inspires your Instagram posts?
The community. Saying it again.
I love it.
Honestly, a lot of what I talk about is inspired from conversations I have with my patients and my clients. It's what they come to me and ask about. It's myths that they've heard that I'm like, okay, this needs to be busted. And then it's the questions that I get asked through DMs, through my question and answer posts on my stories. That's really what inspires me, because when you are trying to build a following on social media, you need to make sure that the content you're producing is what your audience wants and what they find engaging. So that's where I get my inspiration.
And it's amazing that you talk to your followers. I think sometimes being an accredited nutritionist or a dietitian like yourself, we have so much knowledge about the food industry and nutrition. And sometimes you hear something, you just think, oh, that's a myth. But that's not how everyone would see it.
Yeah. You don't realize how much you know about nutrition until you talk to people, and then you're like, oh, you didn't know that you could freeze bananas. And so, you don't realize until you have conversations.
And then if you've got your frozen bananas and you blend them, they make a really nice little nice snack. But I think that's when it comes important, though. I really enjoy frozen bananas, which have been blended into an ice cream. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with eating ice cream.
No, definitely not.
Exactly. So obviously we've spoken about the community, and that's something that you really enjoy about being on social media and the myth busting. But in the sense of the opposite, what do you find most challenging about it?
Time. Yeah, I find it really hard to put aside time to create regular, consistent content and to be able to respond to all the DMs, all the comments, engage with other accounts. I think that's probably the hardest thing, because in order to grow your audience, you need to be on Instagram. And at the end of the day, working in eating disorders, having a full day at the hospital, I come home and I'm like, I don't want to go on social media right now. And I sort of have to force myself to, because that's the other part of my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to get that balance to protect my mental health.
Yeah. Guess it's also, I want nutrition to be accessible to everyone because, as you say, I would love to go into helping clients and in hospitals, but that's not available to everyone. And it's like, you really want to help as many people as you can.
As many people. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what is motivating as well, because I want to spread that message and I want to grow my following. And it sometimes is frustrating when you see an influencer or someone without, you know, a degree promote something and that post gets, you know, thousands of likes, and here's my post that I spent an hour to create, because it takes time. You need to ensure it's evidence-based and you're spreading the right message, and then it just doesn't get seen. Yeah. So that's one difficulty.
And something that I think is important to point out here is, what can people look out for when they're looking for evidence-based information?
Yeah, so definitely who you're following, so ensure that what their qualification is, and if they've partnered with a particular brand. So that's really important as health professionals. I've done a couple of brand collaborations myself, but I wouldn't see a dietitian or a nutritionist partner with something like Skinny Jab or Detox Teas. So really question their motive behind partnering with a brand or a company. And then just really being critical of the advice that they're giving. So if someone is promoting something, a detox or a weight loss pill, just stopping and thinking, if this actually worked and if it was safe to do and if it was a sustainable method of weight loss or changing your nutritional dietary behavior, the government would be recommending it.
Yeah, that's a good point. If it was safe and positive, the government would recommend it.
Yeah.
That's a really good tip to look out for.
Yeah, so just being critical.
And just kind of reflecting on your journey for a second, how do you think your inspirations have changed since you were 15 to now?
I think initially, I mentioned before, I think sports dietetics was an area that I was interested in because of playing netball and having that interest in food and how it fuels your body. So I think my motivation has changed along the way just from what I've learnt and the people who have, inspired me. So whether that be colleagues that I've worked with or dietitians or nutritionists I've seen on social media and the work that they do in the areas of fields that they work in. So yeah, I think once I got my foot in the door for eating disorders, I knew that was where I wanted to take my career, and then that's really formed my professional development outside of my work. It's definitely made me niche down, and even when it comes to networking, reaching out to other dietitians and health professionals working in that area, it's always nice to have connection with people that work in the same field, because they know what you do, they know the ins and outs, what's challenging, what's good about it. So it's really nice to be able to talk to people that have that understanding.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. And then regarding continued professional development, do you specialise that around eating disorders too?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you find the specialized information?
It's nice in a way to niche down because you can spend majority of your time reading up in that area. But it does make you realize how easy it is to forget about general nutrition. So I'd probably spend, you know, 80 to 90% of my professional development based around eating disorders, counseling, motivational interviewing, those sorts of things. And then maybe 10, 20% to general nutrition and business development. Because once you work in an area full time, you want to ensure that your clients are getting the best support that they can. Yeah. So naturally you're going to look at professional development that's related to that area.
For sure. That's really great advice. And you've just spoken a little bit about counselling, CPD that you do, motivation, and nutrition and dietetics are so many factors, and one of which is psychology, which is kind of related to those. I studied psychology at A-level, and it's always been a little part of my degree. Whenever I can do maybe some CPD or choose a module, I always go for psychology and healthcare. What do you think about that?
So important. I definitely did not get enough when I was studying. I think, you know, I had a counselling subject, but that was more so tailored towards conducting a nutrition assessment and education about diabetes and weight management and things like that. It was at a very basic level. And so when I started working in eating disorders, I soon realised that it's a lot of counselling. Sometimes I don't even talk about food. And I knew that that was an area that I needed to upskill in, and upskill in quite quickly in order to better serve my clients. So I have done a lot of professional development in the psychology area. So I've done training in cognitive behavioral therapy, motivational interviewing. I did family-based therapy, not that I can be a family therapist, but just to understand what it is and how then I can support parents and families, their child may be having that treatment. And at the moment, I'm doing the Master Practitioner in Eating Disorders and Obesity. That's run through the National Centre for Eating Disorders. And that is taught by a psychologist, so it's very counselling heavy, which has been so helpful, and it's definitely changed the way that I work.
That's really great advice. And as a Master Practitioner, can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so it's not a master's degree. It's a course that's approved by the British Psychological Society, and it's a three-part course. So if you do one module, I think that's the equivalent of a diploma. Two modules is an advanced diploma, and then they use the title Master Practitioner. I don't really know what that would equate to in university terms, but I think it just means a high-level
really
course.
Yeah. That's great to know that they're out there as well. Do you do that in your, well, it doesn't sound like much spare time, but is that what you do?
Yes. So the face-to-face modules, I had to take some time off work to attend those, but all the assignments. And
obviously it's just contributing to getting better at your work and better for your clients. It's all worth it. Do you have any advice for people like myself who got a four-year degree, I'm going into a master's, but really getting that experience to apply my knowledge and learn from others?
Trying to volunteer where you can, I think. It's hard, especially now with COVID, because you can't just shadow someone in clinic or just go to the hospital. There's lots of processes that now need to take place because of the restrictions with COVID. But I think similar to what you're doing, you have done an amazing job at networking through social media. The podcast is fantastic for you to get that experience and knowledge, speaking to other health professionals, writing
it's
blogs. And I say too, it doesn't have to be nutrition related experience, particularly if you want to work in private practice. You could be helping someone develop a newsletter that's for a veterinary company or a bank. It doesn't matter what the topic is, it's the skills, because you have that knowledge. It's just about transferring the skills into the area that you're working in. So any voluntary experience that you can get, doesn't matter what area that it's in, and networking, I think that's even more so important. I'm sure that you've heard the term, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think that's definitely helped me, not for every single job that I've gotten, but definitely for some that I've had, is because it's been who I know.
Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you, Talia. Yeah. So coming to the end, I always finish on the same two questions. What is next for you, Talia?
So at the moment, I'm really wanting to develop some resources for people to make the information that I provide more accessible. So, you know, as you mentioned before, not everyone can afford one-to-one consultation. So at the moment, my next project is that I'm working on an ebook to help to provide that advice at a much lower cost to what it would be to have a one-to-one session. So yeah, that's my next step. And then I've got, you know, lots of other dreams, but I just need to take it one step at a time.
That sounds amazing. It would be really exciting to see when that comes out. As a final one, could you sum up for us in a sentence, a few words or a quote, advice that you have to give to people on their nutrition and dietetics journey?
Yeah, I think just be open to any opportunity and use every experience as a learning experience. There's not going to be a right or wrong when it comes to building your career.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Talia, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Talia already, you can find her on Instagram at TC Nutrition or on her website, www.taliacicchelli.com. Thank you. A huge thank you to Talia for joining me today and sharing her journey with us. It was amazing to learn about the experiences that you had along your journey, how to have trust in your own journey and your path. As you say, there's never a right or a wrong. And thank you to all of you who have joined me on the journey of this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I am sure you will love next week's journey. So make sure to hit that subscribe button to be one of the first to hear. And if you love hearing about others' journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us to reach more people. I wish Talia and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me next Sunday to discover more journeys in nutrition.